Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Why don't you tell me a story?
I went on what the movie advertisements refer to as a roaring rampage of revenge.
The Director's Cut.
With Alan T.
What are you so scared of?
I'm not scared, Mrs. Robinson.
Then why do you keep running away?
Hello, and welcome to the Director's Cut. Alan T. with you. A new season, and this month we have got a special, I suppose you can call it, season of what I call musical theme scores, and we're going to kick off with Ben-Hur. Here we go. Yes, the overture from the movie Ben-Hur, the 1959 American religious epic film, as indicated here, directed by William Wyler and produced by Sam Zimbalist. And, of course, it starred Charlton Heston in the title character of Ben-Hur. Well, this is a remake of the 1925 silent film with a similar title. It was adapted from Lee Wallace's 1880 novel, Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ. Now, I would think that if anybody out there is my age would have probably seen this film, but the music from this movie just completely mesmerized me. I was 12 years old when I saw this with my father at a London major cinema with big screen, wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. And it sort of stuck with me all my life. And of course, a great, great script, which was finally put together by Gore Vidal and Christopher Fry. And the music from this film, by Miklos Rosser, nonetheless, was absolutely stunning. It fitted every moment of the movie. And of course, it was also considered one of the best movie scores ever produced. And it was one of the longest as well. And there's a lot of tracks here, which I only heard once or twice in my life, didn't really notice them in the movie. So let's get this underway with the prelude for Ben-Hur here on this season of Great Movie Scores.
Thank you.
In AD 26, Jerusalem, Judea Ben-Hur, a wealthy Jewish prince and merchant, lives with his mother Miriam and younger sister Tirzah. The family steward, Simonius, has a daughter named Esther. Well, Judea grants Simonius a request for Esther to marry a freeman and grants Esther her freedom as a wedding gift. Well, apart, sort of haven't been apart since childhood, Judea and Esther quickly fall in love. Well, Judea's Roman childhood friend, Messala, returns to Jerusalem as commander of the fortress Antonia. He fully embraces Rome's glory and imperial power, as the music now takes us through his introduction and when it all goes very wrong. Judea remains devoted to his faith and the Jewish people's freedom. When Messala demands that Judea surrenders potential rebels to Roman authorities, Judea refuses and cuts all ties. Well, the new Judean governor's procession enters the city, as we've just heard, as Judea and Tirzah watch from the upper terrace. Loose roof tiles fall, spooking the governor's horse and throwing him off. Messala realizes it was accidental, but condemns Judea to the galleys and imprisons Miriam and Tirzah. Messala also arrests Simonius. While he and other prisoners are transported, they stop in Nazareth. Denied water, Judea collapses, but is revived when a carpenter gives him a drink. That's all coming in this sequence.
The Director's Cut.
With Alan T.
Thank you.
There was always a joke about that sequence of the galley slaves rowing faster and faster and faster. Well, they didn't actually get to skiing speed, so they got off pretty lightly. Not really. Well, after 3 years in the galleys, Judea is assigned to Roman consul Quintus Arius' flagship. Arius notices Judea's determination and self-discipline, having survived 3 years, and offers to train him as a gladiator or charioteer, which Judea refuses. Well, when Macedonian pirates attack the Roman fleet, Arius orders that Judea is unchained. The ship's hull is rammed, flooding the galley. Judea flees and the other rowers, and then rescues Arius, who was thrown overboard. And being rescued, Arius learns that the battle was won. He later petitions Emperor Tiberius to free Judea and adopts him as his son. In Rome, Judea becomes a champion charioteer. We'll be right back. Arias releases when in fact he's already made Judea a free man who wants to return to Judea, where Judea meets Balthazar and Arab Sheikh Idlerim. Seeing Judea's prowess as a charioteer, the Sheikh asks him to drive his four horses in a race before the new Judean governor, Pontius Pilate. Well, Judea declines despite knowing that Messala is competing. Balthazar tells Judea about a prophet he seeks who preaches love and forgiveness and urges Judea to cast off his consuming hate and vengeance. Meeting with Balthazar. Well, Judea returns to Jerusalem to search for his mother and sister. At his abandoned house, he finds Esther, who never married, living with her debilitated father, and also Malak, a mute former prisoner. Well, Messala tortured Semidius, who has protected the Judea's fortune nonetheless. Presenting himself as Quintan Arius' son, Judea confronts Messala and demands he know Miriam and sets his fate. Well, Messala orders their release from the dungeons. Both are now lepers and are secretly expelled to the Valley of the Lepers before leaving the city. The women find and beg Esther to conceal their conditions from Judea. Esther tells Judea they are dead to stop him searching. We get to the chariot race very, very soon.
The Director's Cut
with Alan T.
The chariot race begins. Well, seeking vengeance, of course, Judy agrees to drive the Sheik's four horses against Masala in the chariot race. The Sheik goads Masala into making an enormous wager on himself before revealing Judy is his driver. Well, during the race, Masala drives a beat chariot, having cutters on the wheel hubs to disable competitors. He attempts to destroy Judea's chariot, but wrecks his own instead. Dragged behind the horses, he is trampled by another chariot while Judea wins the race. Before dying, Masala tells Judea his mother and sister are alive in the Valley of the Lepers.
The Director's Cut on Talk Radio Europe.
Well, at the leper colony, Judea encounters Esther and Mulash, bringing supplies to Miriam and Sersa. Esther persuades him to conceal himself as his family would wish. He then follows a crowd and Balthazar to hear what is possibly Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Judea meets with Pontius Pilate, who fears Judea's victory will stoke rebellion against Roman rule. Judea rejects his patrimony and Roman citizenship. Returning to the leper colony, he reveals himself as to Miriam and finds that Caesar is dying. Judea and Esther take them to see Jesus Christ, but the trial of Jesus has begun. While carrying his cross through the streets, Jesus collapses. Judea recognizes him as the man who gave him water earlier and tries to give him water, but a Roman soldier intervenes. As Judea and Balthazar witness Jesus' crucifixion, Miriam and Caesar are sheltered in a cave with Esther during a violent storm and are miraculously cured. Realizing that forgiveness is better than revenge, Judea returns to his house and finds them healed. Embracing the four, rejoice at the miracle. The music from the movie Ben-Hur from 1959, composed by Miklos Rosser. Hope you've enjoyed this different kind of theme on the Director's Cut. We'll have another one for you next time. And I'd like to say, as always, thank you to my production team, Maddie, and for Eamon. Have a great week and see you next time.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.